Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Hello, it's Patricia, Alchemy Therapies, and my emotional audit here. And I want to talk today about the vagus nerve. I want to perhaps give you some of the latest information on this very, very important nerve, which is part of the autonomic nervous system. It's part of the parasympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. And you may be wondering, what's the relevance to you? Well, I hope to explain that. The thing is, the parasympathetic system is your sort of rest and digest system. And your autonomics are the part of the nervous system that controls all the non-volitional activities of your body. So the things that you don't have to think about: breathing, heartbeat, digestion, and even, as we're now seeing, immunity. And that's the key, really, to why I think we're seeing a rise in chronic diseases of all kinds, but particularly ones involving an imbalance in your immune response. In other words, autoimmune diseases. And you could say that diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, certainly lupus, Sjogren's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, you could definitely say those latter three are autoimmune diseases. But you could also, there's an argument for saying some of the other diseases that are more long term are also a form of immune dysregulation. So this is a really important topic, and it's hot at the moment. It's all over social media, people exhorting you to do strange and wonderful things to try and rebalance your vagus nerve, from plunging yourself into freezing cold water, as Wim Hof recommends, doing strange breathing techniques which slow down your out-breath or hold the breath in between the in and the out-breath. You may have seen people exhorting certain yoga poses, which claim to change the way your vagus nerve operates. There are so many different ways in which you can intervene in this vegetative or autonomic response. And so it's not true to say, actually, that we don't have some control over it. It's just we never exert control. We don't understand how to exert control. And indeed, our lifestyles don't really encourage us to have a very good rest and digest system, because we're always on the go, we're always very stressed, we're living lives that are very disconnected from our internal experience. And if you're anything like me, you'll have spent most of your life rushing from one activity to another with barely any time to examine what you're feeling or thinking, other than worry and anxiety, which seems to be rife at the moment. So there's been some new research out, which is what prompted me to want to talk about this. And it's basically looking at the mind-body connection. Now, the mind-body connection was, for very many years, it was considered a woo-woo holistic subject that modern medicine didn't really embrace. And in fact, it sort of taught that the brain was separate from the body because of the blood-brain barrier, which was supposed to be a way of keeping the brain sterile, if you like, or safe from infection. But it turns out that we actually do have some transport of materials, but through the nerves themselves, through the vagus nerve in particular. So there is a connection between what happens in your brain and what happens in your body. And how the researchers found this out was they were actually looking at reducing inflammation. And originally that was directed towards epilepsy, which is considered a sort of overwhelming immune response in the brain that happens very, very suddenly and causes a fit. And they found that by stimulating the nerve in your neck, which is part of your vagus nerve, that you could actually interrupt the epileptic fit. So if you knew it was coming on, you had that sensation that was about to come on, you could either stimulate yourself, or you could get a device fitted that would stimulate your vagus nerve and interrupt that burst of activity, electrical activity, and stop the epileptic fit from happening. But what they found with some of the devices and techniques that they were testing was that not only did people stop having fits, but they also felt better. In other words, their mood improved. And so there was the question, how can a device that operates sort of primarily in the brain area, around the head and neck, change the way you feel throughout your body and reduce inflammation throughout your body? Because depression is in large part it's a sort of inflammatory response as well. It's a dysregulation in your gut flora, which communicates itself via your brain to a sense of dis-ease, ill at ease, and ill at ease feeling. So we could say that depression was an inflammatory disease also. And so modern medicine is coming around to this idea that maybe there's a way of intervening in these kind of chronic conditions that reduces inflammation throughout the body. In other words, it's systemic without all the side effects of drugs. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the vagus nerve and give you a little bit of a basic 101 sort of intro. So, in fact, the vagus nerve is two nerves. Well, there is an upper ventral vagus, which has more recently been discovered, and we think it's related to mammalian development. Is all related to head and neck and social orientation, primarily so that the baby can suckle and receive nourishment when it's first born. Because, as you know, when mammals are born, they're relatively immature. Certainly, humans are one of the most immature, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean, when you're born, you can't stand, you can't feed for yourself, you certainly can't communicate other than cry and defecate. That's about all you can do. Whereas other mammals are a little bit more advanced when they're born. So humans are a very specific case in point, actually, for this model. So you've got your upper ventral vagus, and then you've got your dorsal vagus, which is a much more ancient system, more related to reptilian development. So we have kind of a reptilian heritage, if you like, linked to your back brain, your brain stem in particular. And that tends to go down to all the organs underneath your diaphragm. And so it's basically controlling your vegetative state, your digestion, your kidneys, liver, spleen. That's a very interesting organ that nobody talks about, but it's a really crucial part of your immune system. And so we've recently discovered that the spleen is very much innervated by the vagus nerve. And if you can reduce inflammation by changing the amount of neurotransmitter that's released at the spleen, which is acetylcholine, it turns out, which is just a neurotransmitter that the spleen uses, then you can change the whole balance of your immune system. Now we know that electrical signals are how the nerves work, really. At the synapse, that's the gap between the end of one nerve and the beginning of another. There's an electrical signal that is transmitted across the gap or the synapse. But what we didn't realize was that you can, with small amounts of electricity from certain devices, you can change the way that your nervous system is balanced. And so certain devices which are being tested right now in a lot of research, both in the UK and elsewhere, is looking at whether very low amplitude electrical signals can actually rebalance the system. So it's a hot topic. And I have tried out a few myself. I've not tried Neurosim, but I've got a device called the DANAS device, which is like a TENS, but it's much more complex. And it has different frequency ranges that you can use for different parts of the body as well. So I often use that on my liver if I'm feeling a bit sluggish and a bit headachy or migrainous, because migraines, headaches are always related to liver detoxification issues. Or if I've got sore muscles, I'll use a different frequency for that, because your muscles are controlled by nerves. The tension in them is controlled by nerves. So if you get pain or dysfunction, it's often because there are nervous signals that are sometimes related to past experience as well, which are becoming dysfunctional. Frozen shoulder is a case in point where I think there's always an emotional link to that, where the agonist and the antagonist muscles don't work in synchrony and they work at the same time. And so you get this horrible pain and you can't move your shoulder. So there's lots of new information coming out here that's very related to the nervous system's overarching control of the body. And it's completely missing, really, from the medical approach, which tends to isolate the problem in the area in which it shows up. So if you've got back pain, you've got a problem in your back. If you've got leg pain, the problem must be in your leg. But in fact, this vagus nerve travels throughout your body. It's actually called the wanderer. That's what the name vagus means, because it goes pretty much everywhere except your adrenals. Your adrenals are part of a different branch of the autonomic nervous system called the fight and flight system. And that uses adrenaline. So it's a different neurotransmitter. So you just need to take care of your vagus nerve, and you may find ways of doing that. You may find that even turning the neck in a certain way, moving the eyes. Now, I use eye movement in one of my therapies called EMDR, but nobody talks about what that actually does. We know that it can rebalance memory, but it's also stimulating your upper vagus nerve. Tapping, you know, which you may have seen on, there's many sites that talk about emotional freedom technique, EFT or tapping, all stimulating nerves in your face, which is your upper ventral vagus. Humming, which stimulates, of course, the voice box, larynx. Maybe also singing, chanting, even just making vocalizations that vibrate your voice box can stimulate that. Using your ears, you know, rotating the lobes or even the little flap. I don't know if you can see the little flap that sort of is close to the ear canal. That can stimulate your vagus nerve, and in different ways, you know, different. The ears are often the opposite. So one side will definitely be up, more stimulatory, and the other will be more calming. That's just the way we seem to work. And you can kind of investigate that for yourself by just having a play. And there are some great videos on that technique. Gargling, believe it or not, is a way of rebalancing your nerves, your nervous system, because it uses, again, this sort of vagal stimulation. The vagus, upper vagus, comes very close to the trachea. And so anything that stimulates that area is likely to help rebalance it. What they have found, in fact, is that ice cold water may not be using the same system, and maybe more an adrenaline-based response related to the dive reflex. They call it the dive reflex, where if you go into water, particularly cold water, which is quite a shock to the body, all the blood pools in the center of your body, in the internal organs, and is taken away from the extremities, because you've got to keep your body temperature up. And that seems to be an adrenergic response, so to do with adrenaline. So all you Wim Hof fans out there, you may not be balancing your vagus, but you are doing some good. You know, it's, if you can tolerate that kind of extreme response, and men and women are very different in that. Generally, some women like myself go into shock if I'm in cold water, let alone ice cold water. I can't function at all. So it doesn't work for everybody. It depends on the state of your adrenals, basically. But it's certainly worth investigating. I will put the link to the original article that I quoted in the Guardian newspaper. I'll put that below. And I'll also include some links to some of the devices that I've discovered and used. So if this is of interest to you and you would like to explore more, please get in touch. You can contact me on alchemytherapies.co.uk. Take care, everyone. Oh, and subscribe. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.